Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
More life, more life, more life, more life.
Are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
You know, Clotus, there is one thing that I train for all year round.
It's not a triathlon, it's not high rocks, not CrossFit.
It's silly season.
Let me show you how it's done.
Welcome to Silly Season. It's gonna be a lot of fun and games. I got my business cards at the ready, and I'm gonna take your name. I'm gonna connect with you. I'm gonna shake your hand. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's gonna get out of hand. Welcome, welcome to Silly Season. It's gonna be some good baby. Yeah, that's how you do it. Bloody good fun.
Mate, you know what? Sometimes I got to put my hands up and say fair play and happy Christmas. That was fucking good.
Mate, thank you so much.
How long have you been sitting on that?
Been sitting on that for about 6 months.
Yeah.
I good, just, mate. One Sunday when the nanny was out with Johnny Jono, I just, just played around, mate. Lyrically, you know, there is no one that puts sort of Clapham / business lyrics to songs better than me.
No, I agree. It's a niche, but you
do
it really,
it is really,
really well.
A niche. Yeah. I'm tailoring it to a certain kind of audience, and I'm absolutely smashing it.
So, Archie, last time we spoke, you were having a quiet weekend in the build-up to Silly Season.
Yes.
We're a couple of days in. How's it been going?
Mate, I am feeling strong. I really am. Yeah, can't complain. Obviously, I put in the work before Silly Season. You know, pre-season is January to November, typically. And this is probably, I would say I probably had my best pre-season leading up to Silly Season. Like, I am mentally and physically, I am there. I feel match fit. I feel ready for it. This is the time, really, where you've got to put your foot down. And, you know, if you stick with it and you survive the whole Silly Season, some people won't close it. Some people won't even make it past this weekend.
No.
They'd be like, I've got the sniffles. Not me, mate. Because honestly, if you complete Silly Season, you go all the way to Christmas.
Yeah.
You will make gold Q1, Q2 next year.
So what have you been doing? You know, 3-4 days in, is it just breakfast, lunch, dinner's round the clock?
I mean, it's a mixture, mate. You know, on any given day, you know, I could have a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some days it's just a lunch, that, you know, long lunch. Some days it's lunch, dinner. Sometimes it's breakfast, lunch. It's a mixture. And you've got to be adaptable because the season isn't straightforward, Clovis. No. You know, you're going to have ups and downs. You've got to accept that. I've done enough Silly Seasons now. You know, this isn't my first rodeo. You know that, you know, the Silly Season isn't always going to go to plan. So far, touch wood, mate, it's gone very, very smoothly. As expected, I feel very good. You can tell, look fresh.
Yeah.
And that's mainly due to hydration.
Okay.
You know, I get back every evening and I'll have 4 litres of Clapham spring water with electrolytes. And you know, as the Silly Season goes on, I'll start introducing bananas.
What's for you?
So, you know, if we're on day 10, I'll probably have 10 bananas before I go to bed because the potassium is very good for you.
Well, it's funny you say about electrolytes because we've got 5 or 6 questions sent in from the audience wanting to know about your Silly Season. The first
Hold on, we got more than 5 or 6 listeners, right?
Thank God.
Yeah.
We put it out.
Before we go, can I just do one button because it is Silly Season?
Yeah, go on.
Silly Season. It's loosey goosey, baby.
So that's my button. One more time, mate.
Silly Season. It's loosey goosey, baby.
God. Bloody good button.
Yeah, it's good, but let's get on with the questions.
It's the only time of year you can use that button. Yeah, one more time.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Silly Season. It's loosey goosey, baby.
Alex P. Tate says, what's your electrolyte of choice once home after a few jars for peak BD the next day?
I mean, I make my own electrolytes.
Do you?
Yeah. It's just a mixture of Himalayan salt, some lemon and orange rind grinded down, and some magnesium that I took from school when I left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not dangerous at all then.
No, I use a pestle and mortar and I get that down to a mixture, and then I put that in my Clapham spring water.
Toby Edmonds says, what's the silliest thing you've done in front of your boss at Christmas?
Good question, Tobes. Look, I haven't really done anything that silly. in front of my boss, that would be a rookie error. You know, I'm on the corporate ladder. You know, I want him to see me and see a serious guy. You know, if I'm larking about and joking about, does that say that's a future MD, you know, CEO of the company? I don't think so. I mean, obviously with my team, yeah, I have a really good laugh. Like, you know, I show them quite funny videos that people send me on my WhatsApp group.
Okay.
That's quite good banter. And yeah, just like share memes. I'm quite good at sharing memes. I love a good meme.
Okay.
Like, you know, just like I'll share it to my team. Like, guys, have you seen this meme about CrossFit?
Okay.
Do you want me to send
you
some
memes? I'm good.
Okay. I love a meme, actually. Really annoying you can't share memes on the medium of podcast because it's you listen.
Charlie Jackson says, under what circumstances can you start to introduce bum funnels to clients?
It really depends, you know, how well you know your client, how much business
you've done with a bum funnel with a client, have you?
I've done a few bum funnels with clients I've done business with for years.
Okay.
Yeah, ones that, you know, they know you, you know them, and nothing's off the cards. Yeah, yeah, bum funnels are acceptable. It just depends really how well you know your client. If you've been doing business for 5-6 years, that's probably a great time to say, right, should we step up this relationship? Let's do a bum funnel.
Okay. Last couple. Full Circle Fitness Cookham. I think that's Goody's trainer.
It is. Yeah. Goody's looking great.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Looking great.
He said hangover tactics, question mark.
Hangovers are a mental thing, Clodagh. So I don't really get hangovers these days because I'm so mentally strong. I rarely cry and I rarely get hangovers. But you know, like I said, I drink a lot of water before I go to bed. I eat a lot of bananas, and I feel like just getting outdoors and getting some fresh air. If I'm really struggling, I'll do a 15-minute kettlebell HIIT session, and that normally gets me out of my funk.
Okay, and then finally,
and I'm very lucky because I have a selection of kettlebells. So you know, I've got kettlebells ranging from like 18 kg all the way up to 42 kg.
Really?
So
you can do 42 kg.
I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun with the kettlebells, especially when I'm feeling a bit ropey.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than just going hard at the coal face with some kettlebells. Let me tell you.
Okay. And finally, Tom Edge says, have you ever seen someone more talented in your life than Schooner Scorer?
Well, look, I've got so much admiration for Schooner Scorer. What a guy. Doesn't seem like a dickhead at all. And just love his content.
So talented.
Really talented guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people he hangs around with just seem like salt of the earth kind
such
of people.
Good guys.
And personally, I'd like to see more of those kind of people and him on TV.
Talking about good guys, we should shout out. Did you get his name?
Why? You know what? I've been so busy with but the guy at Saracens. If anyone can find him on LinkedIn, send him a message. Just wish him a happy Christmas. And like, he must be so pleased with himself. Like, he has really got himself into a position where he is the decision maker. I've got a lot of respect for that.
Talking about good guys, we are joined by one of your oldest mates today on the podcast.
Well,
was he not going to rock up? Will he, won't he? We don't even know yet, but hopefully he will. It's the wonderful James Haskell.
Yeah.
Last time you saw him, you were on a boat.
Yes, last time I saw him was in the World Cup, but one of my all-time favourite guests, been wonderful to me over the years, and really looking forward to seeing him. There's only one thing to say, and as it's silly season, it's perfect thing to say. Should we have a bit of chanter?
You beautiful man, how are you, James?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. I'm glad I could fit you into my busy schedule, cancelling work.
We really appreciate it, Hask. I'm also very busy as well. I've got a lunch at the Ned later. So it's silly season, mate.
I actually fucked off my membership at the Ned because I was like, do you know what? I just wasn't using it. They originally gifted it to me and then I was like, do you know what? I'm just never in the neck of the woods and I just don't want to bump into you. I like, you're more of a work associate than someone I'd want to mix with, you know what I mean? Because it's, the problem is, it's not even you, it's the crass people that follow you that drive me up the wall.
Well, I have a completely different point of view of it. I love going to the Ned. There's a selection of restaurants. It's wonderful to take clients there. If you're doing business, you know, you can ask them, what do you like, Japanese, steak, French? What about we go and grab a quick poke bowl? But what's wonderful is the Thursday nights in the summer on the roof, there's a swimming pool there. And
I did get up there.
I think I actually was there that night you DJ'd. I bumped into a couple of guys from Essex and they're a hoot. I mean, some of their terminology I don't get, but I think they call beers packet. that was the strangest thing.
It's confusing, because they always go, do you want some packet? And you're like, well, we call it a lager where we are, but
They kept saying, oh, should we go and get some packet? I was like, well, I'll have one of those then, please.
The thing is, they always go, oh, can I have some packet? And then when they go off for a round of packet, they come back and they're very chatty. They've got renewed energy. I thought they were like Red Bull beers because they come back with a lot of like.
Well, they've got a lot of energy. They've got a lot of energy.
It's like pre-workout, isn't it?
Although I did find it disturbing after that. After they had a few packets,
yeah.
One guy just started telling me about his childhood, and then I had to say, "Listen, mate, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in that. I was wanting to find out where you worked."
Yeah, I got caught. I got caught into the corner, and one of them started saying that they weren't sure their dad loved them. And I was like, "Listen, bro, it's 3 a.m. You know, whatever round of packets you're drinking, stop drinking because you become instantly very boring and emotional."
Yeah, that's a good sign because there's a lot of school children that listen to this podcast, James. And I just say, like, if you are in Essex, yeah, just stay off the packet.
Yeah, please.
Stay off the packet and stop going to Turkey.
What, Hask, have you been to Turkey for the lid or not?
No, you little cunt. Oh,
where have you been?
He went to Harley Street.
Harley Street. I don't do medical tourism. Funny enough, I don't get an account. I don't get I don't know if you saw that bloke who had the beard transplant. This is a sad story. I'll caveat this. There's a bloke who had a beard transplant, went to Turkey. It obviously went very badly wrong. Questions would be, why would you want to get a beard transplant? Anyway, it went very wrong. He took his own life. But they discovered that the bloke who was doing the beard transport was an accountant moonlighting as a doctor. So, you know, the same way as I don't go to my dentist for crypto advice, it's the same as I don't go to Turkey for medical.
You go to your dentist for crypto advice?
You're going to the wrong dentist, honestly. my dentist's crypto knowledge is incredible.
Let me explain something about life to all these people listening. If your barber, your gardener, your dentist, or a taxi driver is recommending something to you, the bubble has burst. Like, it's like, you know, it's like when the reason Facebook and all these other internet programs and Twitter is full of dross is because your nan and grandfather are on it. And so that's why as soon as they, and when they get Instagram, it's now time to move on to the next thing because, it's definitely not good. I went to Harley Street, the Restore Clinic. I had three Indian lads working on me for 8 hours. Then they did the hair transplant. the next day, I had 3 more Indian lads working on me. It went pretty well. I'm quite happy.
I honestly, when you first did it, I actually think it looks really good. I know who you look like. You know who you look like. Jason, you look a little bit like Triple H from WWF.
To be fair, people said that anyway. Like someone said I look like Philippe Senderos as well. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, footballer.
Footballer, yeah. But we interviewed Martin Keown the other day, and he basically, someone suggested that, and he went, "Yeah, I can see that. And I was like, "Well, he better be a top shagger, super funny, with an unbelievable Barney. Otherwise, I look nothing like him."
Well, thank God you didn't go where Jamie Roberts went.
Jamie Roberts. I thought Jamie Roberts left his head out by the bins, and the council did it. You know, I thought he left.
His hair looks like a tennis ball that a dog's been at.
To be fair, do you know what? I can't make hair jokes. I always think Jamie's a dreamy, good looking man. Look, any man who is good looking, he's a good family man, he's a doctor.
But his chat is boring.
I can't comment because people would say that my chat, well, ill informed people with a low sort of base of intelligence and life experience would say my chat's poor. But again, you know,
No, I would say you're up there. You are, you know, you've got bucketfuls of banter. I always sort of refer to you as the chocolate chatto. Yeah. I actually had an evening with Lawrence Diallo in the summer, and I made that comment.
Did he talk a lot about packet as well?
No, we just had a quite late one. It was quite a late one. It was the only night I've ever been defeated. I think he put me to bed, which was.
He basically, you know, Lowell's like a big, like a father figure, like a senior man. You know, when you put just that like level of bravado, just like tucking you in like that. Like, oi, you just fucking. Yeah.
Who was it? You, Ryan Wilson, in bed together with Delalia? No, Delalia never made it to bed.
I don't know. All I remember is I blacked out.
He would have seen what you had to offer, would have raised you complete destruction, folded you up. Yeah. Like a small travel map, and just popped him in his pocket and put you away.
And on the way to bed, he put me in the jacuzzi in my clothes as well. So it was, and it was an interesting night.
It was a good night.
I felt like I was back at boarding school, hanging out with the upper sixth and third form.
Yeah. The last time I was put in a jacuzzi in my full clothes was by the chaplain, but I mean that was very difficult to experience.
Hask, are you enjoying single life? I mean, what's a good night out look like now? We've been asking Archie for years. He's a single man, but he doesn't really crack on. Are you enjoying being back out there?
Look, you know, obviously family's a priority first. I don't honestly have nights out, inverted commas, I often combine cleverly, you'll appreciate this, like the rig biz, the work-life night out synergy, you know, DJ set coupled with a night out. So yeah, I'm actually not really dating at the moment. I'm just keeping my head down and you know, just chipping away at it.
I'm similar to Hass. Yeah, I'm very, you know, family comes first. Obviously, my daughter Jonna, who's similar age to your daughter Bodie.
My daughter.
Yeah, yeah, got a daughter who's similar age.
Named after you?
No, it's Jonna.
Hass got them and doesn't.
He had a daughter. I saw something about name, but I thought it was like a fictional. I think it was like you got into a fantasy land or something.
No, no. My daughter's similar age to Bodie, and I don't mean this in an aggressive way, but she'd absolutely take her down, mate. If you, I think that could be a money maker in the future. Get them in the ring and see who wins.
I'm happy to have Bodie absolutely destroy Jono.
Well, hopefully Johnny doesn't take after you in the ring.
Hask, I don't know where Bodie is in her media career, but Jono's actually got her own section on the Rig Biz podcast where she predicts the results of the rugby. So she's absolutely killing it. Her chat is on point.
Yeah, I tried to agree my ex to send my daughter off to boarding school till she was 18. Then I'd officially meet her. we'd have dinner. Hello, I'm your father. Like, and she'd go to hug me. Like, we don't do that. Not meet you. But I was shot down, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that's how I was brought up, and I've turned out absolutely okay. I've got no insecurity. I don't cry, and I don't yawn either.
So, you're the happiest guy I know.
Yeah, I am. I am. Hashtag I am the happiest guy. I know.
Archie's using Field and LinkedIn for his main sort of sources of meeting girls. Have you been on Field, Hask?
I don't use apps. Field is also for that full fetish stuff, isn't it? I'm led to believe.
Yeah.
I haven't been on there. I don't. Apps not really for me, because I think reading about yourself in the Daily Mail, and you know, is sort of not ideal for me. I quite prefer personal contact. I think that's been lost in bit. You know how important business is: firm handshake, exchange of business cards, eye contact.
Yes.
You know, just going, listen, let's make a deal. Time kills deals as well. So you've got to seize while the iron's hot.
This is how I date girls. Exactly. That's what I mean. Right, handshake, eye contact. Yeah, let's get the deal done.
I was just thinking when you were talking about, you had a bit of, when you talk about your day in the life, sort of how you do stuff, you've got a bit of a Greg Wallace vibe about you. I don't know if you've seen.
What's happened to Greg Wallace? I haven't seen him, but I'm a big fan of MasterChef. He has got some bloody good banter.
He's doing well. Doesn't like middle class ladies, but he's doing well.
He seems like a really like fun guy in a night out.
Yeah, but only if it wasn't for those pesky middle class women and gender that they're getting.
How dare they?
Yeah, I think, is he, what? So what's going on with him? I saw he's in the news, but is that just about a new series?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't too rarely go into detail. I would say that, just to give you a measure of the man, when you sort of talk about stuff, it's kind of, I don't know if you've seen a fantastic article, which is The Day in the Life he did.
Yeah, so good.
Which is some of the most remarkable, and I just read you a couple of segments of it, because I can imagine if you were to do something similar, and it's a shame that you didn't discuss the plans, because I would love to see a comparison. I'll just read this to you quickly. 7 a.m., I work out 5 days a week. I'm down at the gym half an hour before it opens. They let me in earlier. So let me in early. So I have a swim and a sauna by myself. Then I'll review my to-do list while walking on a treadmill, no sweating. Then I'll do 50,000 steps a week. I do about 7,000 a day. I'm now 12 stone, having lost 5 stone. And I've less than 18% body fat, and I have a six-pack. But I have a belly that bloats. I guess we all have our imperfections. this is my favourite part of it all, and I can really relate to it because it's a great place. 10:30 a.m, meet my PA Helen at the local harvester for breakfast. Bacon, sausage and fried egg. People say to me, I didn't expect to see you in here. Look, they do grilled chicken. There's a salad bar, and I've never been disappointed. It's all about expectation when it comes to food. I've regularly been disappointed in 3-star Michelin restaurants around Europe, but never in a harvester. I imagine my well-being business, and now is also my new health and well-being podcast, a piece of cake. I love chatting to experts, but I'm quite an expert too. having been journaling, manifesting, goal setting, and reading self-help books for years. Right, I could go on. I could go on. There's one more bit as well that's my favourite bit. If you could just, and Archie, imagine the amount of time you spend with Jono. What's your daughter called?
Jono.
Yeah, Jono, right? I just can imagine, I don't know how much time you can relate to this, but maybe you can come up with an answer. 1:30, I like to spend time with my 4-year-old son, Sid, who's non-verbal autistic. He used to be in his own world, but he started to seek company and show eye contact. We'll potter in the garden and play with our two dogs, Wally and Bella. I'm much better father now I'm older, although another child isn't something I would have chosen at my age. I was always very honest with Anna, but it's what she wanted, and I love her. I just requested two things, that we had help in the house, so her mum moved in, and secondly, at least 1 week a year when we holidayed. This is my favourite bit. 3 p.m, I'm an amateur historian. I spend 2 hours by myself in my home office playing Total War Saga, Thrones of Britannia, set in 1878 AD. I prefer turn-based strategy computer games to fast ones that require reflex. So the best bit is he spends more time playing video games as a historian than he does with his autistic.
He's listen, he's a man after my own heart. Can we put write that down? Get him on the podcast. Yeah, he sounds like a really good guy.
I just wonder what you'd put.
Look, I'm very similar. I get up at the same time, 5 a.m. But you know, as everyone knows, I do my, you know, I do 100 naked jumping squats, 100 naked jumping press ups, sit ups, press ups. I go downstairs.
Jumping press up, you know, clap press up, or like a
weighted with my weight vest on, and then I have a 20-minute. 20-minute ice cold shower followed by a sauna. Then I go downstairs and then I will. I don't watch YouTube videos. Again, I call my dentist because he's also my business mentor and lawyer. And I just ask him, you know, what his thoughts are on the market.
Fair. You must be pleased with how your teeth have come, because it's a sad day that just by the time your teeth have become decent, the show's over.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, Hass, all things, you know, all good things must come to an end. But, you know, I'm moving on to better, yeah, bigger and better things. And Paul Freddie, I don't know what's going to happen to Fred.
Yeah. I am worried about you, Freddie, because this is your life, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm worried about
him. He's all right. He's got a food podcast that's doing quite well. So he's moving on, Hask.
Yeah.
I tried to write that Christmas song and it was the most depressing thing, and I had to re-educate the guys. Nobody wants to hear that out of Fred.
Mate, ended up being a top 10.
Yeah, but you redid it, because I told you it was nonsense. Yeah.
Mate, you heard the first acoustic draft, which was slightly depressing.
It was like, I honestly, I came round and I was in tears. It was like a little black cloud had gone over me. They confiscated all my belts and shoelaces. It was depressing. It wasn't like Christmas. I was like, I was checking in with my relatives. They hadn't died. I was like, this is piss. But you regrouped. You made it upbeat, fun, less droney, and it was really good. It was like, do you know what? It was like going to an indie rock concert with just a load of unwashed people, grubby, miserable, just singing about heartache and depressing in a drony way. But then you made it Christmassy and it got to number 10. So you're welcome. Thank you.
It actually sounds quite similar, because I went to a Ben Howard concert the other night, and oh my God, it was like every independent barista was in the crowd. I was like, how's everyone here? Who's going to make the coffee in the morning? And also they had their pronouns out and ready to go. So yeah.
Pronouns. My pronouns are fuck and off.
Hask, talking about Greg Wallace getting a bit of shit, why were you getting so much shit for calling the royal family dysfunctional? I mean,
I didn't. Honest to God, right? Honest to fucking God. Let's clear this up. We're doing a book promotion at the moment. I haven't even got my good bad rugby.
I've got one actually. I've just bet they sent it to the wrong house. So I don't know who's sorting out the good, the bad, and the rugby stuff, but someone on my street's got a package for Archie Curzon.
Shut up. But actually.
Yeah. So they've got your book. I said keep it.
How dare you?
No, I am joking. I need something to read to my daughter to put her to sleep at night. So I'm going to.
I had a bottle of black eye in it as well. Better than that piss that warmed piss you put in cans and sell.
Hey, that raised a lot of money again. I'm just doing stuff for charity. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
It's the worst mistake. Worst business plan ever. Charity starts at home.
Yeah. No, you actually did teach me that.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? Anyway, but no. So basically, we did this book promotion and I was on the phone to this woman for an hour and a half, and somebody sent me the article, and it was the biggest load of shit I've ever. It was staccato. Bad. It was like they put it all through chat GPT and it just come out with like just no emotion, no sense. Like it was like, we've got 200 words, we have to fit it all in. And all I said was, they asked a fucking question about the royal family because that's all they're obsessed with and all they want to run with is all the stupid headlines. And I said, the royal family are like any other family in the world. They have some members that are great, some members that are not so great, and they're dysfunctional. Everyone's family is dysfunctional. That's life. Yeah. Not the royal families are dysfunctional, and not that some are better than others. And it just, honestly, it made me look like I was even more of a C-U-N-T than I am. I am one, but I'm a good one. I'm a GC, as we learned. over the Highlanders. That was day one. Jamie Joseph, the coach, went, Hess, mate, good to have you here. Are you a GC? And I was like, I don't know what a GC is. He goes, mate, you're a... I was like, yeah, that's it. So I was like, yeah, that's all you want. But then they sort of abuse it because they'd go, Hess, mate, will you drive Aaron Smith to the airport? And I was like, well, not really. I live an hour away. I see him. I was like, oh, fuck's sake. Get in the car.
I'm just happy being a C.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, they wrote that and I read it and I was like, I don't know how you can get away with it journalistically. Like, just transform what I said was a long, kind of verbose, interesting, engaged conversation into short, meaningless, crappy sound bites. And then look, the honest answer is, until I didn't understand what everyone was talking about and someone asked me the same question, so I had to Google my name, which is always tragic. You'd think I'd have a page set for it, ready to go. Like,
you definitely do.
Morning, I just go, take my clothes or sit down, get some hands. Right? I honestly don't ever look at it. And what's really amazing, when you look at the amount of articles and the amount of tosh that's written, I don't know about any of it. And do you know how when people get worried about the media, unless you've done something illegal, I wouldn't know. If no one said anything, I wouldn't know. It doesn't affect me. No one says anything about it. It doesn't come into, it's only when you get asked an interview question and you're like, what are you talking about? Or somebody sends you the article because friends trying to be helpful or family members. And you look at it and you're like, I never said that. And it's like every newspaper, Haskell Sun says, raw fan. You're like, I never said that.
Didn't Princess Anne call you a wanker when you were recording that podcast?
Basically, we were at the at Windsor Castle interviewing them because we're big time. And we're in there having a great time chatting away. And Tyndall would obviously, because he's a real kiss arse, because his name around the palace is Soulsy, because the only thing you see hanging out the arse of all the royals is the soles of his feet, because he's like a professional brown nose. He's like up there. He's like wiggling in there. He's fully in there. And so he'd obviously told His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, that we were going on a cruise ship during the World Cup 2023 and we were going to be doing some stuff on there. So he obviously had a bit of ammunition for us. So he went, oh, Haskell, how are you? You know, good to see you.
Wait, is he from Wales or what?
Yeah. By China, it was, yes. It's a low blow when you're coming at accents, bud. And you're better than that. Go on up. Brother, give him an uppercut, will you? Knock his turkey teeth out of his head, will you? And he goes, great to see you. So apparently you're going on a cruise ship during the World Cup. What are you going to be? The anchor, right? And everyone laughs. Tyndall's in hysterics. He thinks it's the funniest things ever. You know, it's not funny. He's laughing. I'm like, anyway, and I go, well, it's something like, it sounds something like anchor, but spelt differently, right? And Princess Anne was like, not really this. And she just turned around and went, yes, I can see that. So I was like, fine, I've just been called a wanker. Not, she didn't obviously call me a wanker, they don't do that, but much more intelligently, basically dressed me down that, yeah, she could see quite clearly that it was spelled something different. But they unfortunately took it out. But they were great. They were brilliant. They were down to earth. They were friendly. They were super informed. Brilliant guests. Some of the most favourite guests I've ever interviewed. But you can't say anything nice anymore. You can't say anything without it being bastardised because everyone wants to sensationalise it.
Yeah.
Commercial break.
Guys, can I come in quickly? Guys. Sorry, guys. I am so sorry to interrupt. I know it's a brilliant podcast and wonderful chat happening. It's free-flowing. It's like watching Marcus Smith play rugby, but just two guys having unbelievable banter. Just a quick one. Just wanted to pop in here just to say there are a few things that I'm very keen to reach out and connect with you all. Firstly, the Samurai socks, Good Chat socks, and the Samurai Clap and Focus Dash is still available. Click on the link. Wonderful gift to give someone. It's just a great bit of chat. You know, if someone's got bad chat, then you can just give them some socks and say, maybe get Good Chat. Also, the vests, the t-shirts, the shorts are great to be in the gym. You know, when I wear that stuff in the gym, I get automatic respect. People know that I've got banter and I'm in good shape. And then secondly, as we'll probably talk at the end of the pod, do not forget to get your tickets for the last ever Rigbiz podcast. 1st of February, Clapham Grand, followed by the Ireland-England game. It's going to be a huge, massive night. That's it, guys. That's it. That's me just selling to you. I'm so sorry. Just look, that's me. I tell it how it is. Anyway, guys, I'll let you go. See you later. Bye. Hask, was that cruise ship? I don't know about, yeah, for me, I don't know about you, but that was a real highlight of my career and life, that cruise ship. I just thought, A, great facilities, B, great clientele, and three, what a time to be alive.
And they got you all paid on time.
Yeah, they did. They got me on there. I had to go back with the civilians on the plane. That was terrifying. Yeah, but yeah, what a place to be. You definitely don't get depressed being on that cruise ship.
I mean, I don't know whether you're telling the truth or not, because I was a bit like, yeah, I mean, it was sort of quite fun, but did I see you on there?
Yeah, I saw you intermittently. I was commandeered by Ryan Wilson and then sort of blacked out and then came round on the Sunday.
Under Ryan Wilson's wing?
Yes.
The state of Scottish rugby, but he's from Surrey.
Yeah. I think he was looking for more followers and it just made sense. And then I just appeared on his Instagram a lot and
I love him. He's one of the good lads to get on the smash with. But no, the cruise ship was interesting. I liked it. I'll tell you a story that happened. We've got time limit.
We've got time.
So I was DJing, right? And sometimes when I'm playing, rugby fans in particular, I don't like DJing because they're not really there for music. They just want to laugh at me or say weird things. It's very, very odd. And you sort of get like, you know, middle-aged men on the dance floor just standing there like wearing like a Leicester fleece, like just holding a glass of red wine, like not dancing, just staring at me. And then you'll get every now and then someone will come up for a chat while you're playing, just to like have a chat. And it's normally something along the lines of like, oh, my son used to go to your old school. And do you know his friend Timmy that played his local rugby? And it's sort of like, you're like, I can't really hear. I'm sort of mixing. I'm trying to think of my next song. And you smile politely. And then you'll get someone who comes over. And this old boy came over during the set. And he was like waving at me manically. So I said to security, find out what the fuck he wants. Came in. And he asked me if I was going to play any Eric Clapton. And I sort of looked into his face for any sign of kind of humour. Was that... him. He was deadly serious. I went, no, and he got the fucking hump and walked off. So anyway, I stood there and there was a man standing there with a woman. This woman was holding a dragon teddy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this bloke was like waving like this, like pointing at this thing. Right? And I was like, whoa. I didn't know if I thought maybe he wanted a threesome or something. I was like, no, I'm not. He's like waving, like looking at right. Right, I just like, all right, boy, like, don't look at him. Anyway, he's come up, approached it, and he's like waving, like nodding. I said to security, what does he want? So security went down and he came back, and the guy said, listen, he says that dragon went to the 2015 World Cup in England, it went to the 2019 World Cup in Japan, and now it's at the 2003 World Cup in France, right? And I went, and I went to ask security, there must be more to the story than that. Fucking waste of time, man. Went back down, told him the bloke won't come back. He goes, no, that's it. I was like, carried on DJing. Anyway, he'd obviously got the hump. And then I finished my set. He comes rushing over. I'm talking to Roger Sanchez, one of the greatest DJs in the world. I'm talking. This bloke's like pulling my shit. I'm like, mate, what do you need? He goes, Teddy. I said, listen, mate, I don't fucking care. I said, I'm going to be rude. I don't care. There's no story in here. I don't care. There's nothing here. I don't want to be rude. I don't understand what you're talking about. You've had your minute. That's it. Anyway, went off. He's gone back livid. He's steaming. He's livid. He's gone back to his bird. They've had a Barney. He's like, you know, gesticulating. Anyway, I've walked off where the set was. And obviously we're on a deck and they're serving food. I've come off. I've stuck into a corner. I'm having a hot dog, having the chips. And I've seen this guy and he's steaming and he's still rowing with his bird. And he's seen me. As he's come past, look, livid, he's obviously got halfway to the lifts and decided that he wants to come back for a chat because he's going to tell, I can see it straight away, he's going to tell me the error of my ways. So I get up and I'm standing by the rail at the side of the side of the ship and he comes over and he starts pointing it and he's like, he goes, you're fucking rude. This dragon, you don't understand, this dragon. It's the World Cup in England, 2015. It was in Japan, 2019. It's now in France in 2023, right? And I was so livid, I snatched the dragon off him and I fucking threw it over the deck. We were 80 feet up into the Black Sea. I threw it. I said, listen, mate, if a fucking dragon makes it to Australia 2027, then you've got a fucking story. And I literally, he was so shocked. I ran to the VIP thing and he came after me and shut the door. I was like that. And I went to bed and I was like, mate, honestly, It's that kind of shit where you're like, great. But he must have woken up the next day and gone, either livid. But that dragon, to be fair, folks up, wherever it turns out, that's fair play.
No, but yeah, did you get his name, Hask? You didn't get his name?
No.
We should look. I'd like to get him on the podcast. Could have been the guy at Saracens. So what? It was in England, Japan, and then France.
Yes.
That is actually really good banter. So I'll definitely get him on there. I've got to say, that ship, you make it sound like people drinking red wine in a Leicester shirt. My experience was very different, Hask. It was guys from Essex who were there, again, seemed to be drinking a lot of packet and getting very angry. I was terrified. I spent a lot of time in my room alone. It was a scary place to be. Yeah, they're pretty aggressive, those guys.
Yeah, they can be. Rugby nauseas, yeah, they can be good. They can get a little bit punchy. To be honest with you, I had one, we talk about the good, the bad Rugby Unleashed, but where we had one night where we'd sort of gone off the boat to watch South Africa versus Scotland. Big hopes. We went there. Tins had his customary sort of opening drink, which is a bottle of rosé to himself. I had a couple of glasses. Paino had half a glass, and I caught him tipping it in the flowers, as his usual. It's his usual thing. So anyway, Tins then followed up with a couple more drinks, bottles. I had a bottle to myself. Alex, to be honest with you, he nursed his glass of wine for so long it caught fire in the sun. I've never seen that happen. But we then, anyway, we had got a bit pissed up. We had some food. We went back on the boat. And we were like, brilliant. Let's go and have a nice dinner. Hey, celebrate. Good, bad rugby. We've done all right. We've got paid out these guys. So it's good. So anyway, went up to the restaurant. Nice steak restaurant. Tins is always posting pictures of him, you know, drinking Petrus and Margot with Margot's wine, not a bird. By the way, just in case you thought that was. And he's
I
had
that. Actually, think it was a bird. Yeah, but Karen.
And so anyway, he's having a bit of wine. And Alex, I don't know if you know that the cruise ship we went on, they had some real financial issues. They weren't paying people. It was basically like the Titanic, essentially, but in port. It didn't hit an iceberg. It essentially was sinking as we were sitting on it. But we'd obviously demanded to get paid. We got burnt a couple of times for not getting paid. And I said, listen, I'm not going unless they pay the money up front. And Alex was sitting there, and Tins was choosing the wine, Alex is a bit of a catastrophizer, and he goes, oh, it's a bit like C-3PO. He's like, I'm a little bit worried that we're not going to get paid, and the boat is it's not going to be here next time we come out, right? And I'm eating my food, and I hear this, right? And I look up, and Tins has put a steak knife through the top of the table, right? And he's got his mortgage eyes on. He's got one fixed and one variable, and it's fucking like rotating. And he's there, and he's like frothing the mouth. He goes, that's the fucking problem with you. And I can't work out if he's looking at me, he's looking at the waiter, he's looking behind him, or he's looking at Alex. He goes, that's the problem with you. You fucking, you're so fucking negative. And Alex is like, I don't know why. And I've gone like, whoa, let's calm down. He's gone, And Alex goes, well, come on. I just think, no, you're fucking real negative. We obviously discovered that Tins, after a few red wines and a couple of bottles of rosé, turns into annoyingly honest Mike. He, for no regard for his own behaviour, his past history, or any relevance, will tell you exactly where you've gone wrong in life, why you're an arsehole, and what's wrong, and all your faults. And so basically, Alex obviously freaked out because he can't deal with confrontation. It got so awkward between the two of them that I started looking, going, wow, how much they spend on curtains in this so many windows. And then anyway, he then looks at me and goes, and as for you, you fucking prick. And I turn around and looked at this woman thinking, why is he shouting at her? Me? Because it's one of his eyes like mad-eyed Moody out of Harry Potter. It's like fucking revolving. And he goes, as for you, you're fucking doing too much work. No wonder your wife's left you, dick, right? And I was like, oh my God. Right, so this is professional. So I've then, to be fair, I panicked because I didn't know what to do because it was like getting a bit heated. So I've said to Tins, oh, look, a dolphin. And to be fair, for 10 minutes, that dolphin, the fact we were, it was 8 o'clock at night, we were six stories up and he couldn't see one. It distracted. I went to the toilet. I came back. Alex was silently sobbing like, oh, right. Tins obviously was there now eating like a caveman. And he's got like curled over like Igor. He was like that, just eating like, look, he'd gone back to his like northern roots. He didn't know how to use a knife and fork. There's food everywhere. Honestly, it was awful. So I then, Alex goes, well, I finished, I'm gonna go. And I was like, oh, look, I'll help you. Anyway, Tins couldn't get up from the table, he's forgotten how to legs. So I was holding his hand. It was like Michael Jackson and Bubbles. I was like, holding. And Tins was like, coming, master, coming. I was like, come on. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tackle Alex. And I was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And Alex like mincing off. Oh, no, I shouldn't do that. Then tries to spear tackle him from behind on a walkway between all the shops that are closed and spears him into one of the glass windows and almost puts him through the window. C-3PO has an absolute meltdown. He's like down on the floor. I've had to carry Igor back. He's now like, honestly, he's on his knuckles. I've had to carry him, put him back to bed. And Alex, I've honestly had to talk him off the roof. He was like a flustered old lady having a heart attack on a bus. You know, he's like, oh. I was like, Alex, breathe. He's like, remember Alan Partridge where he crashes the car and Lynn, you've broken your neck. Air, breathe, air, Lynn. I had to slap him and then just got him back to bed. And next day, Tins apologised. We're all best of friends. But yeah, man, it was crazy. That.
The only thing I can relate to is I didn't see Haas, Tins or Pano on the boat, but I did have supper with Big John, and that was good fun. What a guy.
Who's Big John?
You know, the big
Bosch.
The Bosch.
I had to lift the Big John. We did an interview. Big John was on a sun lounger and he was like a turtle. He got trapped on his back and he couldn't get up. And honestly, I had to single arm pull him up. It was a 300 kg single arm pull, and honestly my back's never been the same.
He's an extraordinary human.
I dressed as a maid to deliver a birthday cake to him. And do you know what he did with it? He put a £20 note and he did the entire cake.
Hask, obviously the rig biz after 5 years is coming to an end. In many ways, we've fallen out of love of the lack of personalities coming through the game now. Your era was the last gen where you still had people like yourself. But it wasn't just you. Like, you look left, you look right. There were so many great characters, some great stories. People wanted to come on and celebrate that. We've nearly done 200 episodes and it feels like we've done anyone left with a bit of chat. What are your thoughts on the state of rugby right now and the lack of personality?
No, everyone and Rhys Priestland.
I love Rhys.
Yeah, that episode, that's actually, if you're struggling to get Bodie to sleep, put that on. Bloody hell.
Was it getting blood out of a stone?
That was tough, yeah.
He's a lovely guy, Rhys. I've got a lot of time for him, but it's just, you know, I think he knows as well. Like, some people are front of house, some people are, behind the operation, some people are back room.
I'm still in my head, I think regularly, what made him think it was a good idea to come on the podcast? What did he think? I've got to do that one. They're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I love my level of chat here. I mean, do you know what? I think there are personalities out there. I think in the age of cancel culture, offense by proxy. So what I mean is that the three of us are having a conversation now and say somebody was off camera, one of my many staff, my numerous staff, was off camera and they heard us doing laddie stuff and they didn't like it. They now complain, even though it's not directed to them. Mm. And that, unfortunately, is where the world's gone. The media in rugby have become quite tabloidy. And I just don't think players want to put themselves over the parapet. So I think there are personalities like Johnny May. You know, Johnny May, everyone knew Johnny May was a bit spectrumy. But we got him on the Good Bad Rugby and he completely went nuclear. He had a whole new lease of life because nobody knew that that's what he was like. And I think there are two or three of them out there that just don't want to get caught. You know, like, why would you want to do what I do where you're constantly getting fucking hammered? Or what's the point? Yeah. Really, I don't give a shit and I still get paid. So, but it's a close line, you know, like if somebody now goes, I don't like that, and they're not even involved in it, their complaint, because their feelings and opinion and the fact they're upset carries more weight than the reality. And also, you know, a lot of times one rule for them, one rule for us. They can do what they want, but God forbid you do what, you know, you say something wrong. And it's like, we have that particularly in different things we've done where people conduct themselves in a bad way, but they get offended by, you know, for somebody else or on behalf of other people. And it's like, you know, just piss off. Like, just, the world would be a better place if you worried more about yourself than what other people are doing, but people don't.
But Hass, do you think, I mean, on a serious note, obviously you were lucky enough because, you know, you did have a good career. You were a good rugby player. And do you think that is a lesson to a lot of the people coming through, that if you are good and you do make a mistake and you say something you shouldn't say, you will be forgiven because you're good enough and you're doing it on the pitch and everyone's, you know, everyone's got to have a bit of buy-in and you've got to learn from your mistakes. Otherwise, if they don't say anything, it's going to be a pretty sparse place. Like, I did the Premiership Rugby Media Day and before I got there, they were worried about me saying stuff. I mean, there was no point in me being there. May as well just turned up and asked people what their favourite tackle was.
Yeah, yeah. Or who's the toughest opposition you've ever played against? And how much?
I mean, fucking, yeah.
That's what I mean, is that I get it all the time. We'd love you to come on. We love what you do. Could you say it in your own words? I say it in my own words. They're like, fucking hell, not them. Not those words. And I went, well, what are the words? Why don't you just tell me what to say then? They're like, no, be creative. I went, no, you don't. You don't want me to be creative. And I think, honestly, I've said this in my books. You know, the reason the England team, you know, the England team's great, but has a lot of personalities, but they, just right. This, well, this. Thanks. Sorry. Thank you. No problem. And.
Who's that? Who's taking that?
Never you mind. it's just the lady that helps me. And so I...
She needs that flower pot. ASAP.
The truth is that I think when you go to the RFU, you go to media days, they're so worried about what's going to be written and realizing that, you know, like I said to you, I'm in 40 articles this week. I literally don't know any about any of them. We haven't seen them. And everyone has a difference of opinion. And I think when you're trying to sanitize what people are saying, controlling what they do and overthinking it, you're never going to get what you want. You're never going to get that. And rugby is dying on the vine because it doesn't have the personalities and the selling right. And you saw what they did with the first series of Six Nations. With the thing, it was sanitized, it was boring, it was pretty fucking shit. They've got Drive to Survive rectified F1 because it showed the warts and all the personalities, the failures, the upset, the arguments, the thing. If you create a void, people will fill it with what they think. And rugby desperately needs personalities, fun, needs some drama, needs some upset, needs some edge. You know, NRL celebrates the big collisions, the big moments, the big hits. Rugby's trying to be a collision avoidance sport, going, yeah, when we do really well with concussion, it's like, yeah, good, do well with concussion, look after the players well, but can we still fucking see some highlights? Can we still see people's, collisions? Can we see some big moments? Stop going back 85 phases to see where there's been a mistake in a try. If you didn't spot it, it's fucking sport, get on with it.
I think I would just say, I mean, you're in it, Hask, all the time. I'm very rarely asked to do stuff because, you know, my chat is out there. But all I can see is there are so many middlemen, decision makers, just being a bit of a Jobsworth, saying no, 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 no to everything. And I just find now, you know, I'm just going to go back to the goose step content. I'm just going to turn up to matches and do goose step stuff. That's my bread and butter. And that is how I'm going to build an empire.
Wow. I mean, the guy, I can't remember his name, but he does it. He just, your best goose step, your best offload, you know, your pint, friendly experience. Everyone loves it. What kind of spin cast? I mean,
there's a market for it. And it's not saturated yet. So I'm going to get involved.
Right. Well, I can reinvent yourself. I think if that's what people want, then great. You know, like, oh, can you fit a ball through this? Can I do a French accent with a player? You know, I don't know. Whatever.
I used to think people just wanted black and white content, just about sort of Clapham and the City, but they don't.
Not anymore.
They want something in colour and they want a goose step.
They want something in colour, they want something informed. They're kind of quite sick of you. I think it's a sad day. I think you should definitely go back to the best mark, the best goose, the best spin pass, the best offload. What's your match day experience? Like, how did you get to the game and who do you think is going to win?
That and running content, because I don't know if you know, I'm big into the running content at the moment. I mean, I'm at Christmas, I'm actually not spending it with my daughter. Some people run the tube lines. I don't know if you see that for content. I'm actually running the Great Western Line from Paddington to Exeter. So hopefully that will pick up the followers.
I tell you what, I did think now Alistair Brownlee's retired, there could be a space for you to fill that triathlon.
That's one of the sports I'm getting into is triathlon. Just going to bring the banter in that. So
I wonder if something like rackets could be one for you.
Oh my god, yeah. Fives. I've never met a bad bloke that plays rackets. You know, they are that you know, they went to a good school if they played rackets. I tell you who's good at rackets. Nick Abendle was very good at rackets.
Good boy.
Number two in the country.
Who's better racket? James Coyne, my old mate from school.
Coyne. I know Coyne, yeah.
Champion.
Hask. Yeah. Have you spoken to Coyne recently?
Coyne used to smoke 60 Marlboro Light a day, right, would sweat opening a door, yet was rackets world champion with the ball skills.
One of the worst chassis I think I've ever seen on a sportsman.
Champion, like, could do things with a racket I couldn't even dream of. And also, brilliant cricketer, great rugby player, just had a knee that was made like a Caramac bar, so that didn't work out. But just a great man. Coyne just was the epitome of, like, modern professional. He was like the James Hunt of the rackets world. with no drilling, but just all the drinking and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Haskell, you've been wonderful. We, you know, obviously don't want to keep you for too long because you're a very, very busy man. Where are you? Are you still in Hampstead or?
Well, thanks for putting that out there, Freddie. Psychos. Where's your fucking address? I see some of them psychos that follow you.
We're in Clapham.
I'm still in North London. I'm in the North London area.
Okay. Yeah, what a place. Hampstead Heath.
Great pubs.
Hampstead Heath, yeah. It's a bit dicey if you need a toilet and you go into the toilets on the Heath.
That's what I like about it.
I went in there the first time. A lot of friendly men. Really friendly.
Yeah, nice guys up there.
One of them tried to stroke my back. Do you know what the best thing was? I thought it was like I went to tip one of them because it was they took my willy and they shook it for me. Yeah. You know that they had a willy shake. You know, sometimes you get someone in the toilet, there's no spray, no lay, chewing gums. This one of them took my jacket, took my top off, massaged me to make sure I was okay, and then one shook it really. He kissed it, and then I said, that's
weird. They must be part of the, because I go to a sauna in Vauxhall where like I go and they do very similar things.
Yeah, I just honestly.
But do they? Because they in my sauna they muck you out. Do they do that? They muck me out.
In my Hampstead one, the toilet roll holders look like penises. They're really realistic because they come and I was a bit like I don't know how, but they can't be real because that would be weird.
The toilet roll holders look like penises. In my sauna, the soap dispensers are penises. You squeeze it and the soap comes out.
I hate that.
Just to finish off, a word on the Rig Beers. I mean, not that you're a big fan of it, but yeah. You know, 5 years, you've been on three times. You're one of our most capped players.
I'm surprised that it's got 5 years in it. I think it feels like only yesterday you bothered me about this thing. But time has flown, unbelievably. Yeah. You've had 5 long years out of a relatively mediocre setup. But you've touched a few lives. I'd say the fact that your listeners got into double figures last year was a big one.
It's for a big everybody. Landmark for yeah. us.
Mark, big landmark. Then obviously those two people moved away and then it dropped down to 29. But it's not, you know, it's not crippled. I think you brought, on a serious note, being nice, I think you brought a lot of happiness to people. I think not many people have had the ability to combine life and business. You know, Stephen Bartlett, CEO, you know, I don't believe his podcast is any use. I think he's quite boring. I think he gets mad. People are like, I think you've created the perfect vehicle for chat, sport and business in a relatable way, bring some of the best personalities to kind of talk about their life and how they should evolve. And I think if we were truthful, you've probably turned quite a few listeners into millionaires and sort of really helped. I think both of you have done well. I wish you the best of luck wherever it is you go. And listen, if I see you both in an Aldi working behind the checkout counter, I'll know that was a smart business.
Hask, as being one of our favourite guests and why we got you on, is like, honestly, first and foremost, you're always welcome to my sauna. If you need a muck out, you know, mid silly season, let me know. Yeah. And mate, thank you so much for always your time, because I know you give it up for free, and thank you so much. I'll see you probably tomorrow night, actually.
Is Freddie coming along? Does he want to come?
Freddie, are you coming to the Good, the Bad and the Rugby Christmas party? You haven't been invited.
I wasn't invited, sadly.
Come if you want.
Come on, Cladders. He's fallen on tough times. You can come.
Imagine this is you, like, with your diary. Oh, can't move that. Punk it in. Don't want to move that. It's just blank pages. Oh,
yeah.
See tomorrow night.
Well, it was like a bit like your virtual assistant ask. We couldn't work out if that was you or a real person.
No, she's actually there.
Seen him move the flower pot.
No, that's the other assistant.
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah. Hask, you've been absolutely wonderful, mate. Thank you so much for giving me so much great stories all the time.
Do I get a gift?
You can come to the sauna anytime. I'll send you all the remaining cans of more lash and any Clapham Falcon stash. Samurai socks, Clapham Falcon hat.
Yeah, I'll take anything really, just for novelty purpose. Well, not anything. Like, I'll take the free piss if that's all right.
Yeah.
We'll send you that. Anything. Just get anything just down there. Just send it off to us.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, mate.
I'll see you tomorrow. Love and champagne. Love and champagne.
Well, he's still an absolute legend, isn't he? The wonderful Hask. Well, are you guys not going to spend Christmas together?
I think, you know, potentially we could. Our daughters are similar age, but I'm doing my running, aren't I? I'm doing the Great Western Run, you know, as I've discussed. A lot of people are doing these tube runs and, you know, running, and it's great content, but I'm one step up. I'm running the Great Western.
Then it just went.
Yeah. That's my Christmas, unfortunately. Gutting.
Well, Archie, I know silly season is still in full flow, but that doesn't mean that the rugby stopped. In fact, I think there's a return to European rugby this weekend.
Yeah. And that's one thing Johnny Jono absolutely loves.
And that's what I'm saying.
She's got a keen eye on it. She prefers the big matches.
People have been making money and losing money with Johnny Jono, but I think this week will be a good week for her. So are we going to have another installment of European edition?
People are really loving the Johnny Jono bit, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's just great. And she loves doing it.
Yeah,
it's not difficult at all to record.
No.
Very easy.
It's easy.
Go in the room. I say, come on, quickly. We've got to do the podcast. And she doesn't, as a 2-year-old, does she complain?
No.
Not even if she's tired, just like
she's there.
And you can hear it, just smooth sailing.
Her
chat last week wasn't that good.
How good's her knowledge in European rugby?
Very, very good.
Okay.
You wait and hear this.
Johnny Jono, yeah. She's going to predict the scores. So make the weekend yours. Johnny knows the song.
Johnny Jono, welcome back to your section on the podcast. Are you enjoying being on the podcast?
No.
Do you want to quit?
No.
Yes, good money. Okay. Well, look, you're very lucky. No. Stop saying no. Listen, let's concentrate. We've got some big ruggers this week. We've got the Investec Champions Cup. Are you a big fan of the Investec Champions Cup?
No.
No? What, the South African teams? Right, are you just going to say no? If you keep saying no, then I'm going to have to find another partner, another child. What about that kid in your nursery, Zoe? Shall I get Zoe to do this section with me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll speak to her. Is her mum and mummy and daddy nice?
Yeah.
Isn't her daddy working investment banking?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll speak to him anyway, regardless about getting her on the podcast. Be good. Good BD. It is silly season. Anyway, we're a minute into this section and we haven't even talked to any ruggers. Let's just talk Saturday's fixtures. Do you think the Sharks will beat Exeter?
No.
No, you think Exeter are going to get a victory? Well, okay. Interesting. What about Claremont versus Benetton? Do you think they'll beat Benetton?
No.
No? Are you just going to keep saying no? Are you going to have any yeses in there? Okay, what about Northampton versus Cast? No, they won't beat Cast, okay? Munster versus Stade Francais. Do you think Munster will beat Stade Francais?
No.
No? Okay, so Stade Francais get the away win. Right, this one. Saracens versus the Bulls. Do you think Saracens will beat the Bulls?
No.
Right. If you keep saying no, right, we're gonna have a real problem here. Because that's not good punditry. Last one. Here we go. Stormers versus Toulon. Do you think Stormers will beat Toulon? Yeah, you're nodding. Okay, yeah, that's a good one for the Stormers. Glasgow versus Sale. Do you think Glasgow beat Sale? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what about Racing 92 versus Quins? Do you think Quins will beat Racing 92?
No.
Yeah, it's a tough one away. You're probably right about that.
No.
Okay, well, that is it. It hasn't been the best section. You're dipping off after the first section was success. But do you think you can give me an introduction to Zoe's daddy?
No.
Well, I'll just find him on LinkedIn then. Okay.
Well, Archie, it's been absolutely wonderful. I won't keep you much longer because I know you've got a very busy...
I've got lunch at Hakkasan.
Hakkasan?
Yeah. Which I'm in Hakkasan quite a lot of this silly
season.
Is it
good in there?
Oh, mate. The atmosphere downstairs is vibey.
Yeah, lots of business going on.
It's very dark in there.
Yeah.
One tactic I do is I bring a torch.
Really?
Yeah, because I like to get documents out. And if I do get documents out, I like to be able to look at them.
Like a headlamp?
I have had a headlamp, but it's a bit distracting. I just have a little torchlight and then
a handheld,
and I just go through the documents. But yeah, no. So I'm off to there. And then, just keep going. You know, we've got to get through this. I'm sure I'm going to have tough moments. Don't get me wrong. But right now, feeling absolutely incredible. Listen, buddy, I will. I've got to leave you. Love and champagne.
Well, that's Archie off to Hakkasan for another lovely lunch. Please, guys, don't forget to buy your tickets to our last ever live show at the Clapham Grand, February the 1st. Huge guests, including, of course, the wonderful Bonnie Blue and the Disabled Toilets. About £12 a ticket. Click the link in the bio, and we'll see you all again next week.
Got into me, not that energy, that virginity that you knew was a memory. Who is that? You can just get too attached to hear it, fear it, face clear, a few wrinkles on my spirit. Now, cousin, this ain't no tubbing. I don't like cages, I'd rather be flooding. Throw this shit out, I pop out with that oven. Tell that new version of me that I'm coming. Yeah, my brody had another baby, that's like number two. My homegirl and I'm tired,
she like 32. They sharing pictures of these moments, shit is really cute. And all I got is photos of my Rari and some silly suits. Well, I flip the switch and find a set of them. Go the other way and keep my pants down. I'm too paranoid, so I'ma tear it out. And any pressure that you're putting on me, I'ma tear it down.